I'm Nathan Cones here with your midday news for this Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. Carroll County Sheriff Ken Pingree secured the GOP's nomination in yesterday's primary for the District 4 seat on the Board of Supervisors. That's the Republican nomination there. Pingree defeated incumbent Stephanie Hausman with 62.33% of the votes. The final tally, 1,202 711 votes. Pingree says both he and Hausman ran a race they can be proud of.
I'm happy with the turnout, very happy with the campaign that I ran and also that Stephanie ran. I mean, there was no mudslinging. We stuck to the facts, what we wanted to do, what we wanted to accomplish, and how we were going to do that. And I just appreciate the fact that I came out on top.
Of the 14,304 registered voters in Carroll County, 2,701 of them participated in yesterday's primary, which is a voter turnout of just under 19%. By party, 1,969 Republican ballots were cast yesterday, and 732 Democratic ballots were submitted. An already elected official, Pingree will need to step down from his role as sheriff prior to November's general election, and with the nomination now secured, that schedule is set.
Under IFER's rules, I have to have 4 months of separation, so my official last day as Carroll County Sheriff will be August 31st. I'll have September, October, November, December off, and then I'll assume this office in January.
Pingree thanks his family, friends, volunteers, and Carroll County voters for their support during his campaign for supervisor.
I'm happy for the support I got. I had a lot of people encourage me to do this. They knew I was approaching the twilight of my law enforcement career, which was 37 years, and I'm not even 60 yet, so I did have a lot of support for people asking me to run for this position, to represent the 4th District of Carroll County, and bittersweet, very bittersweet. It's going to be hard stepping away from the sheriff's office. I put my heart and soul into it for a long time, but I'm looking forward to the next chapter of my life.
A Democratic challenger has not yet emerged to appear opposite Pingree in November, at least as of yet. No candidate filed for the nomination, but the Carroll Democratic Central Committee could nominate a candidate. The deadline for that is August 26th, I believe. An approximately half-mile stretch of 130th Street in northern Audubon County will be closed for the next several days due to a culvert replacement project. The road, which sits just east of U.S. Highway 71, will be inaccessible through the morning of Friday, June 5th, weather-dependent. Residents will still have access to their homes during the projects, but all other traffic will need to detour around the work area via 120th Street for the duration of that project. Questions about the work should be directed to the Audubon County Road Department at 712-563-4286. Earlier this week, the Carroll Chamber of Commerce announced significant changes were coming to the community's iconic Band Day, held each fall, and Chamber Director Ashley Schabel says these adjustments are necessary to ensure the tradition continues into the future. This year would have marked the 69th annual Carroll Band Day, according to Schabel, but it has become increasingly difficult to find bands to participate in recent years.
We've talked about it the last 2 years for sure, maybe three now. It's just become harder to get bands. The schools have different budgets, bringing the bands, finding days that work for all the bands and stuff, and then getting the judges and, you know, getting the bands to march, judge them into a marching competition has just been a challenge. And so we just saw a need to create something a little different.
Schabel says Carroll's hallmark fall event isn't going away by any means, but it will take on a whole new format. The parade will still be held annually, and bands are still welcome, but crowds will end up in Graham Park after that parade is finished.
We're ending the parade in Graham Park, which is this beautiful park. There's big talk about the band shell down there now. And so we got talking and, you know, there's pickleball courts down there. There's basketball courts down there. There's sand volleyball courts down there. There's a shelter house. We're like, what can we do to keep people down here and kind of celebrate and have an afternoon of fun, maybe have some live music, some food, some games, keep it a family-friendly event. And so it has just kind of evolved to that.
More details about the evolution of Carroll's Band Day will be released over the summer. Some details are known already. However, the event is scheduled for October 10th, and the parade that day will start at 11 a.m. Dozens of businesses and sponsors will come together over the next several months to line up activities and the fun that comes along with them. The inaugural theme will tie into the nation's celebration of its 250th anniversary, so expect plenty of red, white, and blue. Schaible did join Carroll Broadcasting on Wednesday morning to discuss the Band-Aid changes in that interview, as well as some other chamber activities with Business Development Director Roseanne Nace, is included with this story on our website. Speaking of the chamber, just a reminder that Live and Local getting underway tomorrow night, the first one of the 2026 season. The band on the docket for the evening is Cover That. They'll be playing from 6 to 9 o'clock in the downtown district over at Depot Park. Just a reminder, it is a totally free outdoor concert, and it is a BYOB event, just no glass containers allowed during that. Bring your chairs, bring your blankets, and join the chamber for a fun night tomorrow night. But we do need to step away for just a moment. Be right back. More news after this on KCIM.
Hi, this is Jordan Ellis with CK Homes, and now your local Heritage Home Builder. With Heritage Homes, we offer custom home designs with full turnkey construction management. We make the building process simple, transparent, and actually enjoyable. We build unique custom homes from design to final walkthrough. Our team guides you every step of the way. Just results you'll love coming home to. Take a tour at heritagehomesofne.com or give us a call today at 1-800-759-2782. Again, that number is 1-800-759-2782.
This is Maggie Pauly, Director of Carroll County Public Health. Opioid addiction is not a failure. It's a medical condition. Help is available and recovery is possible. If you or someone you care about is struggling, don't wait to reach out. Talk to a healthcare provider or local support organization. Early action can save lives. If you need help or someone to talk to, please reach out to a trusted health provider or go to the website Your Life Iowa to get the resources you need to get your life back. This message is brought to you by the Carroll County Opioid Fund Committee, committed to opioid awareness and prevention in our community.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. Governor Kim Reynolds has signed three crime-related bills, including a three-strikes policy that requires mandatory seven-year-long prison sentences for anyone convicted of a third felony. That policy replaces current law, which calls for three-year prison sentences for habitual offenders, but judges have had the discretion to adjust or eliminate that prison time. Reynolds also signed two other bills yesterday in a ceremony in her Capitol office. One new law will not allow people charged with drug or violent crimes to be released without posting bail. The other ends warrant resolution clinics that let people with an arrest warrant sign a document agreeing to appear in court. A woman who went to a clinic in Polk County in April of this year is accused of murdering someone just a few days after going to that warrant resolution clinic. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says he's making progress in forcing eight major technology companies to improve how they report possible cases of online sexual exploitation of children, but he says much more work needs to be done. Grassley says tech giants like Meta, Snapchat, and TikTok need to be held accountable to ensure they're reporting the cases to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. He says the center says millions of reports had data quality issues that may affect law enforcement investigations. Grassley also notes Meta alone identified more than 265 million Facebook accounts and another 135 million Instagram accounts that showed potentially suspicious behavior. Grassley says reporting requirements must be in place to prevent abuse, to safeguard children, and to prosecute suspected predators. And of course, just going to spend some time here looking at election results from last night's primaries, looking at the contested races, really only going to be looking at the statewide races or races that affect the immediate area that were contested for either party. So starting things off, looking at the Democrat side of things, a much slimmer list here for you. For the Democratic Senate nomination, that's going to Josh Turek over Zach Walls. Turek had 62.53% of the vote there in Iowa House District 4 for the congressional seat that's currently held by Randy Feenstra. Dave Dawson earning the Democrats' nomination over Stephanie Steiner and Ashley Wolf Turnabain. Dawson getting 39% of the vote. And then in District 47 for the Iowa House, that's going to Chris New, who had 63.05% of the vote, defeating the challenger there, Charlie Newman. On to the Republican primaries, the Senate nomination For the GOP, going to Ashley Henson. She won over Jim Carlin with 63.92% of the vote. The Iowa governor's race, one that a lot of eyes were on yesterday, going to Zach Lane. He held off who was the presumptive front runner, Congressman Randy Feenstra. Lane getting 37.65% of the vote. Feenstra with 36.88%. So a very tight margin there. A pretty big drop off into third place for Adam Steen with 14.49%. And then the remaining candidates, Eddie Andrews and Brad Sherman, pulling single-digit percentages there. For the state auditor GOP primary, that did go to current Lieutenant Governor Chris Cornoyer. She had 53.91% of the vote. And then that District 47 primary for the Iowa House, Carter Nordman, the incumbent there, holding off a challenger with 66.99%. Really quick, looking at the individual counties, too many to go through right here in this moment. Check out 1380kcim.com, and you can get a breakdown of all those raw numbers on our website. But that's going to wrap up our news. I'm Nathan Cones reporting.